Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. What a show we have for you tonight. We have a fascinating show. You know, I've talked about guardianship on the radio before, but I've never talked about this subject with someone quite like my guest tonight. We're going to be talking about guardianship from the perspective of a person who is really very opposed to guardianship. In fact, he founded an organization whose mission it is to end what they describe as abusive probate guardianship. Dr. Sam Sugar is my guest. I'd like to say that he's here, but he's stuck on the highway in traffic. So we're starting off by phone. So, Dr. Sugar, I hope you're making progress. How are you tonight?
I'm making progress slowly, but I'm fine. Thank you. I apologize, but I was testifying at the Wings Commission hearing in Fort Lauderdale, and traffic has just delayed me. But I'm looking forward to being there in about 25 minutes.
And we're looking forward to having you.
Do it on the phone.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having it. But before we do, I just want to take a minute. I want to thank those who are now listening on 95.9, 106.9. It's like Back to the Future. For me, it all started here 6 years ago on 95.9 every Monday night at 6. For a little while, we were on 900 AM. But we're back here, and we're glad. It's a little bit like Back to the Future. It's exciting for me. I hope it is for you. We're here on 95.9 in the Palm Beach area, in the Palm Beaches, and we're on 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We also broadcast on 103.9 on Long Island, Long Island's Talk Radio. We replay the show every Wednesday night. I want to take a minute before I get to my guest to thank Ruth Rails and Congregation Shirai Kodesh for hosting me last week. We had a terrific time. It was a very involved audience, a lot of great questions, and so a great big thank you to Congregation Shirai Kodesh and Ruth Rails. Also, for those of you who are interested in knowing whether you might have Alzheimer's disease or it's just normal aging, I'm going to be talking tomorrow morning on the difference between Alzheimer's disease and normal aging. I'm going to be at Sonata Assisted Living and Memory Care in Boynton Beach at 10 o'clock. That's located at 2400 Congress Boulevard in Boynton Beach at 10 o'clock tomorrow, Sonata Assisted Living and Memory Care, the difference between Alzheimer's and normal aging. Please come if you can. There's room, so we'd love to see you. And then one last announcement before I get to my guest. I want to give a shout out to Palm Beach County Fire Rescue's effort to get the donations of something as simple as socks for seniors. They have a socks for seniors program, and I can tell you this is sounds kind of maybe silly, but it's inexpensive. It's easy for you to get involved. It's easy for you to do. Palm Beach County Fire Rescue's CARES team has put this program together. It's just a matter of buying a few pairs of socks, and I hope that you will. There are listed on their website a dozen places that you can drop these off, and I encourage you to do so. Palm Beach County Fire Rescue, fire-cares at pbcgov.org. They're a wonderful organization. They're doing great work, and I encourage you to participate. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Dr. Sam Sugar is a board-certified specialist in internal medicine, residing with his wife Judy in Hollywood, Florida. They are proud grandparents of 11 beautiful grandchildren. I'm not sure they're more beautiful than my four, but I'm sure they're very beautiful. We all think they're beautiful, don't we, doctor? A 1972 graduate of the University of Illinois College of Medicine and a faculty member at both Rush Medical School and Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago, Dr. Sugar is a fellow of the American College of Physicians. Dr. Sugar founded Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianship in 2013 as a result of his personal experiences in the probate process in Miami-Dade Probate Court. Today, AAAPG is a national organization representing hundreds of families abused in guardianship proceedings around the country. Dr. Sugar has been extensively published and quoted in the media in regards to his activism against probate guardianship, elder abuse, and has been instrumental in the development and passage of guardianship reform laws in Florida. AAAPG was instrumental in the passage of federal Senate Bill 178, which was signed into law this year by President Trump. Dr. Sugar is a frequent lecturer and contributor to social media on the subject of abusive guardianship and the author of his upcoming book, The Perfect Crime. Dr. Sugar, before we begin, and I know we talked about this a little before you got, you know, before we got on the air, we clearly disagree a great deal about the subject matter, but I think you and I both have agreed that we're going to keep it civil. We're going to have a true dialogue about the issues that concern us both. We've agreed to that, but I would like to tell callers, because the phone is already ringing, I would also like to tell any callers we get that if your intent on this show is to rehash your personal story and to berate the profession with diatribes that are personal and impossible to verify, I won't talk to you, right? I'll disconnect you. If you call in here tonight, be professional or please don't call. My hope is to have a fair and balanced conversation about guardianships and hope that my callers will respect that. So I thank you all. So, Sam, can I call you Sam?
Go right ahead.
Sure. You've characterized professional guardians in pretty unflattering terms over the last few years. You've called them, amongst other things, thieves, corrupt, exploitive, unmonitored court sycophants who make enormous livings by abusing the system and their wards. Is that an accurate description of how you actually feel?
That is an accurate description based on real-life stories from real-life people across the country. However, if you ask me, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to clarify this, there are great guardians. There are some good lawyers, and there are fine judges. I'm not debating that in the least, but what we have found over the years, both with personal stories and our national data requirements and inquiries with surveys, is that there are hotspots around the country, many of them unfortunately in our state of Florida, where guardians are predatory, where judges do act in very strange ways, and lawyers do the same. So my overall impression of guardians is there are great guardians, just like there are good doctors and bad doctors. The difference is, and again, I want to emphasize this, the difference is that when you get a bad doctor, if he doesn't kill you, you can always go to a different doctor. If you get a bad landscaper, you can go to a different landscaper. But when your rights have been taken away, when you have no ability to speak for yourself, no matter how capacitated or incapacitated you might be, and the court gives you a guardian who, in your mind, isn't doing the right thing, there is no contract to renege on. You can't go to a complaint department, and that's the problem.
So, amongst other things, Dr. Sugar, you said that the examining committee process is a joke. You said that once you enter guardianship, you can never escape. And look, I want to give you credit. That's the first time in all of the things that I've read and seen from you that you've acknowledged that there are great guardians. Because, frankly, the problem is that in almost all cases, you leave that part of the equation out, Sam. You always point to some pretty dramatic conversation. And the fact of the matter is that that representation, all right, is just not true. It doesn't represent the real world of guardianship. So let's you and I agree on how people enter the world of guardianship. You know, I know that you and I would agree that in most cases, people enter the world of guardianship when they are deemed incapacitated. Your focus, if I may, and you can disagree, your focus has been, for as long as I know you and of you, your focus has been on eviscerating the professional guardian. But are you aware of what percentage of guardianships are in fact handled by professional guardians? Or do you know the statistics on
that? No, and neither do you. Say you know, you're not telling the truth.
No.
Because in a discussion with the Department of Elder Affairs this week, I obtained what information is publicly available. And the public information that is available is that there are precisely 539 professional guardians, which is statutorily determined by the fact that a professional guardian must have had in his or her care at least three wards at any given
time in their career. That's fine. I'll show you numbers that are a little different than that, but that wasn't my question. My question was how many of the guardianships are family guardianships, and I do have those statistics.
When you get here, I'll show it to you.
So here's the statistics. Let's talk about the statistics. Okay, 72%. All right, and this is a federal government statistic. 72% of guardianships are family guardianships. 14% are public guardianships. 14% are professional. All right. So the vast majority of guardianships, Sam, are in fact family guardianships. And that is where the overwhelming majority of abuse takes place. Would you agree with that?
I would respond by saying this. You are correct, although I have no idea where those numbers come from. They certainly don't exist in the state of Florida. But let's just accept them at face value and say that three quarters of the guardianships in this country are family guardianships. I'll accept that number because I have nothing to refute it with.
Well, just if you want to know, it comes from the Adult Guardianship Court Data and Issues, all right, which is the Joint Task Force on Elders and Courts in conjunction with the NCSC Center for Elders. And I have a copy of it here for you when you get here.
Okay, but what I want to point to, and I'm going to diverge for a moment, is we have to be very, very careful with numbers and statistics. For example, just as a small example, I've listened to your program and I've seen some of the things you've written, and you say quite loudly that 79% of all elder abuse comes from family. I believe that's an accurate quote.
No, it's not.
Right?
No.
Well, you have it in writing on some of the stuff you've got.
Let me explain what that is. That when you talk to professionals in the area of elder fraud and abuse and exploitation, 79% of them will say that they see abuse from family. That is pretty consistent
right.
with what I've
said. So let's drill down on that number since it's important. That number, 79%, came from a study published by a public relations firm called the Hastings Group in 2012. That study was sponsored by the Insurance Protection Trust or the Insurance Protection Institute, which was founded in response to a federal initiative against guardianship abuse. That survey, it wasn't a study, it was a survey, went out to several hundred lawyers and bankers who were asked, who causes the most guardianship or elder abuse? And their response was 79%. But that's not a statistic. The truth is the CDC has a different number. And if I could read the papers that are sitting next to me in my car, I could say a lot about other statistics that are different.
Well, we don't want to get you in an accident. But Sam, I'm going to correct you. I didn't cite anything from the Hastings Group. I never heard of them. My statistics came from our local area agency on aging's elder fraud and abuse group. Okay. And that's where I took the statistics from. I don't know where they got their statistics from, but that's where I've taken it, and I've been pretty consistent. All right, it's on all of my PowerPoints. Okay. So I'll stand by that. But I don't think anybody would argue that families are at the fore. Look, Sam, most people enter professional guardianship. Let's be realistic about this, Sam. And I think you would agree. And I'm not arguing with you, but I just think you would agree about this. All right? Most people enter the world of guardianship because there is no family or no one else, or the family is feuding. There is dysfunction. There is something that prevents a family member or someone else to take control of somebody's life. That is the only time that professional guardians get called in. If 14%, all right, because that's the statistic, and again, I have it here, 14%, all right, of guardianships are professional guardians. That's a small percentage, and in virtually every case, they are brought into the world of guardianship because of family dispute, dysfunction, or lack of family. You can't argue that.
I agree.
Yeah, okay.
No. Okay. And in fact, if you'll allow me, I have repeatedly said, and I think you've probably read this, that family dysfunction is the key that opens the door to guardianship.
Right.
There is no question about it.
Yep.
Let's get back to the 14% professional. I don't agree or deny. If that's the number, that's the number. However, of those professional guardianships, I would expect a degree of what's known as professionalism. There should not be any questions like the ones that I get called on every single day about the performance of professional guardians. And given the fact that the vast majority of the calls we get, and we get hundreds a year of new cases, in fact, we've just documented for the federal government 106 brand new cases that no one knew about in the last 90 days. Each one of those has an average cost to the family of over $1 million. So the family guardian, you know, fine. Some of them screw up. Some of them don't take the courses. Some of them don't know what to do. And some of them are crooks. Got it.
Okay.
Human nature.
So let's talk about...
There should not be a single professional guardianship that goes to the point of completely bankrupting an estate in fake legislation and outrageous fees.
So let's talk about that. Okay, let's talk about that, because you've made that accusation a number of times. All right, a number of times you have talked about the abusive fees. Do you know what the average hourly fee for a guardian in Florida is?
I do. It's between $75 and $85 an hour.
Well, you're close. It's between $55 at the low end and $95 at the highest. So the average, you're
right.
Well, it depends. So, Sam, can we agree that nobody's getting rich on $75 an hour? All right.
No, but the lawyers that defend your guardians are.
Okay, but we're talking about, just to be clear, because you know that this is how I feel about this. I'm not a lawyer. I don't defend lawyers. I don't justify lawyers. I'm not a member of any elder or other lawyer group. All right? I'm friends with a whole host of lawyers, and I like a lot of the lawyers. I'll give you that. And I think that you think and you portray them as much more abusive than my experience is. But I'm talking about guardians. So there is a case.
Yep. You haven't met the lawyers I've met.
Well, I've met lawyers.
Let's talk about guardians.
So let's get away from the lawyers. Yeah.
A guardian is appointed. A guardian is appointed and diverts the ward's mail away from the ward to their mailbox, and they charge $65 or $50, whatever number you want to choose. a day. Six comes to just for opening mail.
Well, I think that you
can
would,
do the math.
I think you would find that that's not true. But here's a case. There is an article that you're quoted in, all right, where you highlight that the Guardian was making a lot of money off of this case. You allude to the fact that the Guardian was only in this for the money. And you talk at length about it, and you were not challenged in the, and it was in the Palm Beach Post, you were not challenged on it. But what you don't know about that particular case, that you accused the Guardian of being in it for the money, was a pro bono case. That Guardian didn't receive any money for over 2 years, pro bono.
If a Guardian doesn't make money, if a Guardian isn't happy about not making money, let them change profession.
No. You accused that. Fault. No, you accused that Guardian, Sam. You accused.
Well, I don't
that,
know who you're talking to. That's not fair.
What? Do you know the name Kurt Rogers? Do you know the name
about.
Kurt Rogers?
No.
Well, you're quoted in an article about him.
Well, I'm in my car, so maybe when I get there, you'll show me.
I certainly will. Okay, here's what you said. The article was written on August 4th, 2017, and on right here, you said, this first salvo sends, that's the wrong quote. Let me get the right quote here. This first salvo sends a
Look,
serious...
Look, I've said a lot of things about a lot of guardianship cases, and I stand by every one of them. If people don't like being a guardian because they don't get paid enough or they didn't get their fees approved, there's a simple answer. Actually, there are two. The court can stop making all of these guardianships, which turn out to be estate-draining bonanzas for the industry, or the guardian, if they don't like it, can get a degree, actually go to college and get a degree and do something else or go back to school or pick up a trade.
You and I would agree that if there is a bad guardian, all right, that guardian should be punished accordingly. We would totally agree. We want to raise the standard of entry into the world of guardianship. In fact, the associations that I belong to, which I know that you're aware of, the Florida State Guardianship Association and the National Guardianship Association, work tirelessly to improve the knowledge level and support efforts to increase the qualifications of those entering the field. All right. We're in violent agreement about that, Sam. But why haven't you ever reached out to FSGA or NGA, all right, and tried to find together a common ground, all right, to improve the quality of guardianship? Because here's the problem I have, Sam. Sam, you use words like bombs. You throw hand grenades into the middle of the discussion. You use dramatic words, and they're not true. And when they're not true, you say, oh, well, I don't know. The truth is, Sam, when you say those things...
I haven't heard you tell me anything that's a lie that I've said. You said there was a quote. Now you can't find it.
Well, don't call me a liar until
you can prove it.
The first salvo sends a serious message not only to predatory guardians, but Lord, just read it to you, okay? All right? I just read it to you, and I'll show you the article when you arrive. All right, you said just now when guardians' bills get questioned, I was at your town hall where you said no guardianship's bills ever get contested. That's not true. You said
can
at
you,
the town hall.
Can you?
You said at the town hall as well,
yeah,
Sam. You said that nobody ever has their rights restored. That is also not true, Sam. All right? Those are not true.
Of course
Go ahead.
What my responsibility is not to you.
Oh, I understand
or
that.
The court. My responsibility is to the people who have begged for assistance with guardianships that have destroyed their lives, destroyed their parents, has kept them away from their parents by outrageous isolation orders. Of course, we're not the only group concerned with that. The entire system does not do what it's supposed to do. It is not the system of last resort. It is not. It is the first system of first resort all throughout Florida, all throughout the system. You have judges.
Go ahead. Finish your statement.
Who do not view guardianship as a last resort, but rather as an easy way to clear their dockets. And in the process, they destroy lives. Is it because families can't agree? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Families argue, and somebody gets angry enough to call a lawyer and pushes the button. And I think no one could possibly disagree that there are bad guardianships and bad guardians, and that the court system, the judges that we depend on, and let me make something clear, the root cause analysis of abusive guardianship always settles down on the bench. The judges have failed to monitor guardianships, and that's where the real issues lie. The guardians, some terrific, great job doing sacred work.
Can I quote you on that?
Because
I want to tell you, the professional guardians listening to this are jumping up and down going, yay! Because, Sam, that's not what you say. Sam, that's not what you say. I read your Facebook page. I have all your stuff in front of me. You don't say that ever. All right? You throw guardians
under the bus. I just said it now, didn't I, to your entire audience?
You did.
It's not funny, though, Scott.
It's not funny, but I'm trying to lighten the load a little here.
And to answer your issue, I can't tell you the number of times that I have reached out to the Florida State Guardianship Association, and I wish I could tell you the name of the former director. He's an attorney, and I can't think of his name right now. I've had multiple discussions with the Florida State Guardianship Association, and never gotten anywhere.
There is no former president of the Florida State Guardianship Association.
No, he's not the president. He wasn't the president.
And the executive
director. I don't remember his name at all.
And the executive director for the last 6 or 7 years. You started your group in 2013. The executive directors, none of the executive directors since 2013 have been attorneys ever. And to the best of my knowledge, and I don't know how far back I go back around 7 or 8 years. There's been no executive
director. You have me at a disadvantage because I'm in my car, which, by the way, says I'm 2 minutes away.
If you are 2 minutes away, why don't we go to commercial break? All right, we'll take a break.
Good idea.
We haven't done any commercials. We'll give you a chance to park the car and come on up. I have a couple of calls. I'll make an announcement. We'll run a couple of commercials, and hopefully by the time we're finished with the commercials, we'll be able to talk some
then
more.
I'll stay on the phone until you get here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So for you that are listening in, and I know there are some people on the phone and I haven't taken the phone calls yet, if they want to call us, or you want to call Dr. Sugar, you want to call and yell at me, which I'm sure you do, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by 6 family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comforcare.com. That's palmbeach.comforcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. And if you recall we started tonight talking with Dr. Sam Sugar, who has been stuck in traffic and was supposed to be here face to face. He is in the area and he's upstairs. We've been talking with him on the phone. I think he is still on the phone. Sam is the founder of the Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianship. That is an organization that is wants to end abusive probate guardianship. During the course of the conversation, we've had a pretty spirited conversation. If Sam is listening, I did locate, thanks to a friend of mine, prior to my being president of Florida State Guardianship Association, the president was, in fact, a fellow named Lance McKinney. He was a president, and he is an attorney. So I will stand corrected. But back to my time, from my time, and I was president, I think they were now in our fourth or fifth year since my presidency. So there hasn't been a president then. And this organization started in 2013. So, Sam, are you still on the phone? I don't know if you are or not.
Yeah, I'm on the phone, good. And I just went by the Chevron station. You said you were behind the Chevron
station. No, I'm behind the Shell station. The Shell station's on the southwest corner. Southwest corner. So you're on the northwest corner. So you want to come to the southwest corner. All right.
I can't believe this is happening.
Well, okay. It's okay. You're getting here. Okay. You're getting close. So, So Sam, while you're fighting your way here, why don't we take one of the calls? There's somebody been waiting for a fairly long time.
Sure.
Let's take a call and see what they have to say. So I'll hit the button. Hi, this is Scott Greenberg. How can I help you? Well, I guess they left. I got tired of waiting. Okay. Hi, this is Scott Greenberg. How can I help you?
Hi. I'm struck by the apparent hypocrisy of your guest. And I want to ask you to please ask him, because I've looked at a case of Sam Sugar, M.D., and Judy Sugar, the In Re Guardianship of Idyll Sturt.
I'm going to stop you right
where
here.
Where it appears...
I'm going to stop you right here.
Please let me finish.
I
don't need to be stopped
by court order to discuss that
it
case.
It appears...
Let him ask the question, Sam. At least let him ask the question.
I'm not going to...
the language
okay,
of the
fine.
Decision that Dr. Sugar is alleged to have taken $1 million of Ms. Stern's money and was then sued by the Guardian for recovery of it. That money was in Israel in a Bank Leumi account. And although the case resolved with Dr. Sugar not having to return the money, my question isn't how the case came out. My question is whether or not Dr. Sugar, and I assume Judy Sugar is his wife, were responsible for removing $1 million from Idyll Stern's account. And if so, how does he square that behavior with the idea that professional guardians are evil, where he quoted earlier that professional guardians are responsible for removal of $1 million? It just struck me as ironic that he chose that number when he's accused of having taken $1 million from Idyll Stern. Did he take it? And if so, why didn't he return it? That is my question.
Well, I thank you for the question, and I know Dr. Sugar is not likely to respond to that. I've heard him say before that he's prohibited by court order from talking about his own personal case. But, Sam, I'll ask you the question from another perspective, which is the way that I probably started the show tonight. The vast majority of guardianships enter the world of guardianship due to family dysfunction. And I think there's nobody, even in AAAPG, that would argue that but for the lack of family dysfunction, there'd be no need for professional guardians. Is that right?
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
So we agree that most of the, if we could extrapolate then the conversation some, we could say that those people who are aggrieved and who are shouting the loudest about the abuse of guardians are often, not always, are often those people on the losing end of the decisions in their own personal guardianship experience. Can we agree on that?
No, not necessarily. Because my experience and the experience of the people who reach out to us for assistance is not just the people who have lost, because there really are no winners in guardianship.
Right.
There are no winners. There never are. Because in the end, guardianship takes an innocent individual and strips them of their rights and puts them in a situation where they have no control over any aspects of their life. So calling people winners and losers, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay,
I think
I'll accept that.
A loser in guardianship.
I'll accept that.
Okay, so
I'll accept that.
Having said that, I don't know who wins, and I don't know whether it matters. The truth is that guardianship is a life-changing event that should not be undertaken unless it is really the last option.
Well,
and my concern...
See, On that, we would totally agree.
That's not the way it happens. It just isn't, unfortunately. It's not just in Florida. It's all over the country that individuals wind up in this situation, typically because families don't get along, and it's a very sad thing. And often your guardians are placed into situations where they can't possibly win either. They can't possibly win because they can't satisfy either side and wind up taking out a lot of their anxiety and anger on people who are just trying to protect their parents. Attacking the messenger, as your previous caller did. Hell, if I weren't a victim of this nonsense, if I didn't waste years and years of my life dealing with predatory lawyers and guardians whom I still have issues about. But I'm unfortunately, and this is another way that victims are penalized, in order to get out of some of this litigation, you've got to sign your rights away, non-disparagement and if I say one word out of place, I guarantee you they're listening.
Okay, so I'm going to take it from a different perspective, okay? I'll take it from a different perspective. On your website, Sam, you say, or it isn't you actually, but it is somebody who speaks for you, Kelly Smoot Garrett, okay? I assume you know who she is. She is quoted on your website that says AAAPG statistics indicate that nationally 7% of total guardianship cases are estimated to be fraudulent and thus prone to looting by insiders. So first of all, those words are at best nonsense. But more importantly, 7% is nonsense because there are no statistics that even come close to saying that. All right? And well, except yours, because you made them up.
I don't appreciate being laughed at.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the statistic. The statistic is a statistic that's your statistic. Can you tell me where
it, would you like to choose?
Tell me where it comes from.
I can tell you exactly where that came from.
Good.
We perform surveys nationally of guardianship abuse. We tabulate those statistics, and we publish them. Almost every case of guardianship abuse is reported to us. And look, we don't go out looking for these cases. I got enough on my plate, but I get calls. Today I got 3 new calls about this very subject. We ask the question, what started this whole process? And the answers almost always involve some kind of fiduciary issue, abuse, excuse me just a second. I'm still looking for your damn studio. I think we're just going to do this on the phone. So the statistics involve...
Are you inside the building?
I have no idea. It's dark. We'll do this on the phone, okay?
Okay. Well, then go back on your Bluetooth because you were doing better on your Bluetooth. You're breaking up pretty hard now.
Yeah, okay. Hang on just a second. Oh, boy. Hang on. Maybe you want to take a call while I do
this. Okay, I'll take a call. Hi, this is Scott. Welcome to Oh My God. How are you? Oh, you're gone. Let's take another call. This is Scott. How are you? Hello? Okay, well, you hung up as well. Okay, I'm sorry the people are waiting, but we have so much to talk about, and it's been a challenge because Sam is doing his best to get here. He really is. I give him credit for that. I know he's trying hard. He had terrible traffic.
Mr. Greenberg?
Yes, sir. Ma'am.
Yeah, this is Liz and Matt Scarlatus. While we're waiting for Dr. Sugar, we're calling from Northern Virginia. And we're involved in our father is in a guardianship arrangement. I won't even go into the particulars of that, but I did want to ask you, I have contacted the National Guardianship Association on several occasions, asking for their suggesting to them that if they really want to get a full 360 input from families, from those who were being deprived, as the case of my brothers and I, of seeing our father as often as we like. We're paying exorbitant rates in visitation. We're being denied visitation. My brother has not seen his father since September.
Okay, dear, I said it really early. I'm not going to litigate a specific case on the phone.
No, I'm not, but I'm just saying, why don't you survey families to get more input. I've contacted them several times. No one has responded to any of my letters.
Well, if you send me the letters, I will bring it to the next board meeting, which is in January in Savannah, Georgia, and I will find out, because I am the treasurer-elect of the National Guardianship Association, and I will find that somebody will get you an answer to your question. I don't know what your question is, but I will be happy if you sent letters, send me copies of what you sent. I will hand it to our executive officers and find out why no one has responded. I think that's
all right.
Fair, don't you?
I'll take you up on that.
You got it, dear. Have a good night. I'm going to take another call. Hi, this is Scott. How can I help you?
Hey, Scott. I got dumped. Glad to get back on here. I can see both sides of this thing. The guardianship, I work with clientele, old people. I have a couple clients that are in their 90s. However, I got a petition in the mail one day where my mother was being taken into guardianship. I had no idea it was coming. It was family. It was over power. There was never disagreement. Anyway, so when it gets to the judge, you know, we have surveys, census, that asks questions about our homes and everything. There was nothing to allow me to validate my side of whether this guardianship should even ensue. Plus, the statute, this is in Pennsylvania, the statute, which I know statute's not law, I didn't know that then, the statute says there is a succession in the family of people to care for that parent. Now, when, you know, the strongest bond in life is love, and it seems like the court is more than happy to destroy that. Plus, the money that is a lifetime of earnings of that parent, and plus any money from prior generations, is all instantly handed over to the entire guardianship process, and they have no access to that money. And then I didn't have money for a lawyer. I had no idea even what this was about.
Well,
except
look,
the petition in the mail.
So as I said earlier, I'm sorry for your personal situation, and I understand that there's always two sides to every story. And we believe, all right, as Dr. Sugar and I agreed on or just a minute or two ago, that guardianship is a last resort. As to why you went into guardianship, I don't respond. I certainly can't talk about Pennsylvania law. I don't know anything about Pennsylvania law, even though I lived there for a while. It was before I was involved in guardianship. But I hear you, and I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in. Hi, this is Scott. How can I help you?
Yeah, I was the gentleman that called and asked the question about the $1 million, and then I got disconnected.
I'm sorry.
It's taken me a while to get back to you.
Okay. Well, yeah, the phone's been pretty busy.
Well,
I would never have to do the
show
if I got this many calls all the time. But go ahead. You want to follow up on your question? Go ahead.
Well, it struck me as odd that when Dr. Sugar is talking about family discord and guardians taking money, he's apparently done the same thing himself. And, you know, this, people seem to forget that this money belongs to the incapacitated person. Everybody seems to want it for themselves even before somebody passes away. I mean, a guardian who's overseen by a court with court auditors reviewing what they're doing, I think, is safer than somebody who's taking money and squirreling it off in Israel, don't you think?
So Sam is still on the phone. I'll let him answer if he wants to, but
yeah.
I don't think he wants to, but I'll
yeah.
let him answer.
Yeah.
Go with it. Go for it, Sam.
As a matter of fact, it's a very nice tactic to kill the messenger. It really is. And I think it takes a lot of courage to attack someone when you know they cannot respond or risk being sued. So, thank you for your call.
All right. I'll come back to you, Sam, in just a minute. We got one more call. I'll take one more call tonight, and then you and I will talk some more, okay? Hi, this is Scott. How can I help you? Hello? Hi, this is Scott. How can I help you?
Scott,
yes,
this
Mr.
is
Greenberg,
John,
we just
and,
want to listen. We want to continue
I'm
listening.
I'm involved in my mother-in-law's guardianship, and I'll try to keep it away from those details. So I guess I would like a question to you, which is what is a professional guardian? a comment about the courts in general and specifically about due process, which is constitutionally guaranteed to all of us. And then a really brief thank you to Dr. Sugar for the most cogent comment I've read in all the material I've
Okay, so the only one of those questions that I can answer, and even then I can't answer it all that particularly well, is what is a professional guardian? That varies by state. I can tell you what professional guardians in Florida are. I don't know where you're calling from, sir, but I cannot.
I'm calling from the Channel Islands in the English Channel right now.
Well, congratulations. But, you sound like you're in a better place than you. I. But anyway, I can't answer for the around the rest of the country, and I think asking me that is kind of – I mean, I got to be honest with you. You seem like a nice guy, but that's
well,
a silly
what's
question.
Your experience. I am a nice guy. I'm a great guy.
Okay. Well,
but you call yourself a professional guardian.
No, whoa, time out, okay?
Okay.
I am not a professional guardian. I never said I was a professional guardian.
Okay.
I am not an attorney. One of the reasons I can have this conversation is because I have no dog in this hunt. So for all of you on the phone who think that I am the enemy. I am not the enemy. Everything I do in the world of guardianship is at my expense, other than my expenses, some expenses that are reimbursed, and it's out of the time from my business. I have never made a nickel from being involved in a guardianship association, and I'm not a guardian, and I'm not an attorney.
We have that in common. I've got over 2,000 hours in this, and I have billed nothing.
Okay, so
we're on the same page.
So I'm not going down that road. But look, we only have about 5 minutes left, and so I don't want to spend the rest of the time talking about your personal case. But I will tell you this:
I'm not talking about my personal case. No, I want to make a comment about judges, due process. And
so,
I want to make a
so I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer your. I'm going to answer your question. By taking information that was presented at the National Guardianship Association conference.
Okay.
This is 217 cases were reviewed of elder fraud, supposed guardianship abuse. 26 of the 217 actually fell into the category of fiduciary and guardian misconduct. All right, that would be abuse, neglect, exploitation, or mismanagement of funds. Of those 26 cases, all right, that were studied independently, all right, seven involved an attorney who acted as a guardian or was otherwise involved in the case. One was a mother, one was a spouse, one was the wife of a grandfather, five were children, one was a sister, one was domestic partner, one was a professional caregiver, one was a public guardian, one was a professional guardian, one was a power of attorney, and two were trustees.
Therefore what?
So these were the people that were found to be...
What distinction are you making here?
Well, I'm making the point that Dr. Sugar, and I said this before, Dr. Sugar uses words in totality about the profession of guardianship that are all-encompassing, and it's just not accurate. It's not true. So my point is, whatever got you into guardianship, I'm sorry that you had to enter in the world of guardianship. Most professional guardians would be more than happy that no one ever entered that world. All right,
that's good. Yeah, that's great. I'm sure there are a great bunch of guys. But my question again is, you've used the term professional guardian frequently. So my
and I also
is,
look. I'm not going to debate.
What exactly
I'm not going to debate with you. I said that
is
state specific.
Suppose my 16-year-old son comes up and says, "Dad, I want to be a professional guardian."
Right.
What do I tell him about?
All right,
education,
I'm not
going
to answer you. I'm
going to
let Sam. Sam's trying to break in, so I'm going to say goodbye. Thank
if you.
You
can't define your terms.
It's really, a professional guardian. A professional guardian in the state of Florida means that a guardian who passed the minimal examinations has had at least 3 cases. That's all it means.
No,
nothing
doesn't
else.
It? No, that's not
true.
Sam, that's not
it's
true.
It's in the statute.
Sam,
it
40
is
hour.
True. Look at the
there's
statute.
A 40-hour course, Sam. Did you forget that?
No,
did you forget that?
You forgot. You're not listening, Scott. You're yelling. What I said was, and I'll repeat it, any guardian, which means they passed the 40-hour course, any guardian who has had at least 3 cases qualifies for calling himself a professional guardian. That's right out of the statute.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but you left off the part 40-hour because you just made the assumption. You see, Sam, that's my point. You use these words, and you're speaking to people who don't understand where you're coming from. All right. And you feed their fire. All right. And you throw, and I said it before, and Sam, I know, Scott, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
Okay.
There's a bias here. When I, you just criticized me for saying any guardian who's had, well, if people don't know what a guardian is, how do you expect them to deal with guardianship when it comes up? What I said was absolutely, positively, 100% correct, but your bias, and let's be honest, we're both biased, your bias made you jump out to say, what about the 40 hours? Well, okay, 40 hours. If you think 40 hours is enough to run your life, that's fine. I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what, the family guardians have an 8-hour course. So, and again, I go back to, all right, the percentages that I did. Look, this has been spirited. This has been terrific. Sam, you are a brave and honorable soul to do this. And I know how hard you tried to get here, and I really do appreciate that. I do think that if you and I spent more time together, we would find more common ground. All right. But I will tell you that each and every time I hear you or other people like you blanketly blame the professional guardianship community, as I have seen you do, I will jump up and defend it in the loudest possible terms. Because Sam,
so let me respond by saying the name of the organization is Americans Against Abusive.
Okay.
Probate guardianship.
I agree.
That's what we're against.
I agree. Look, I hope you'll do this again. I doubt you will, but I hope you will. And if you will, I'd love to have you.
No, actually, I would love to do it during the daytime.
Okay, well, we can tape a show. We can tape a show and without the phone calls. So anyway, I'm running out of time. I want to thank you. I'm sorry for your troubles in getting here. For all of you who listen tonight, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. We are here every Monday night talking about issues of boomers and their parents. Next week, the Elder Helpline, Kim Clawson, the director of the Elder Helpline, is going to be my guest. She's incredible, and it won't be near as contentious, I promise. So tune in next week, Monday night, 6 o'clock. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Sam, get home safe. Thank you. Bye now.